Columbia Network takes pleasure in bringing you
Suspense.
If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
What evil lurks in the hearts of men?
I'm not afraid.
What under the sun is that?
That's the ghost, wailing.
I see his figure, shadowless, flitting before me.
I must say that I'm expecting to find that both of you will have met up with the same fate as them others. Dared to face the ghost of Bad Creek.
All right. Well, we're in the midst of Halloween. We're in the midst of all the ghosts and goblins and all the different questions. And so we're going to do a series called Ghost Stories. We're going to talk about the spirit world and how that all operates and how we as Christians can respond to that. If you're visiting with us today, thank you for coming. We want to welcome you to The Crossing. We're so glad that you're here. We trust that you experience God. One of our core values is allowing the Spirit to move, being Spirit-led, and following the Lord in all that we do. And so our hope, our prayer is that you feel the presence of God, because we believe that He is alive and active and moving. We exist here at The Crossing to become a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. We think it's very simple. When you look at the Word of God, we always look at the Word of God and people think, what can I not do? We think of it as what we get to do. And that's simply Matthew 22, loving God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's becoming a disciple. And then the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where he says what? He says, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey the commands, and know that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we see that process in Matthew 28 as making disciples. So it's very simple in theory. The difficulty is living it out. Isn't that true in a lot of things, right? And so we see that our heart is planting churches. We planted the Crossing Espanol that meets here on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. And then we've also, they're beginning the journey as well. They're having Bible studies in Salina with Movement Church with Chris and Angela. So we're excited with them. Yeah, what God is doing. And so if you know anybody in the Salina area that lives out there or moves out there, or maybe God's speaking to your heart to maybe go help them in this process, I'm pretty sure they'd be more than willing to talk to you about that. So if you have anybody, just because here's the deal. We know the church is not about us, right? The church is God's people. It's about advancing, that people can know Him and know who He is. So we're excited about that. We're excited about what God is doing. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be all over the map. I'm going to start out in 2 Corinthians. There's a lot of things I want to share with you today. But an easy way to follow along, if you have your Bible on an app or on a phone, you know, whichever you do, YouVersion app, if you go in there and you search for a live event, you'll see The Crossing, and it will have all of my notes already there. So if those of you, I always say, those of you that are OCD and you like to follow along, they're there for you. You'll know what scriptures I'm going to. For those of you that simply want to know when I'll be done, there you go. You can follow along and say, the guy's almost done. All right, we're good. Either way, it's a way for you to follow and track and see where we're going if you would like to do that. But we're in this, I want to do this series because there's a couple things. We just came out of an incredible series on the end times, where we talked about how things, the world are shaping up and things are adding. And there's several topics in the church that we just don't like to talk about, right? And so I don't know why, but for some reason, God laid these two on my heart back to back. These are two things we generally don't talk about, is the end times and the spirit world, right? It's just things that we just don't deal with, partially because in the church and in our lives in general, we often don't like to say things that are things that we can't understand, right? We just avoid them altogether and think as if it never happened. Well, in around us, all around us, there are, you hear the stories, especially this time of the year, of ghosts, goblins, zombies. I mean, zombies is a big deal, right? Now, I had to be educated on zombies because I didn't really understand what zombies were. So I was talking with Adam this week where I was sitting there explaining what I thought. He goes, dude, that's not zombies. I'm like, then enlighten me on what a zombie is, because apparently I've lived in a bubble and don't know. And so so I had to do a little bit of research on some of this stuff just to figure out what exactly are some of these things. But as I begin to study more and more into it, the reason I didn't have to worry about it is because I'm going to share with you, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, you have authority in Christ. You have peace in Christ. You don't have to be worried or fear or even enamored with the spirit world, because we have connection to the Holy God, who is the living spirit, the one true living God. Amen? And so that's kind of my take on it. There are certain things in life, kind of like we talked about last time with the whole end times. We talked about how we see things lining up at the end of the world. My take on it is, I don't have to worry about that because I'm not going to be here. Amen? I'm going to be in heaven. I don't plan on sticking around to see how the world ends. I plan on being caught up in the church and the raptures, as the scripture tells us. So we can see that process. But the reality is this. Here's what I want you to understand. That the spirit world is real. Whether you are, you know, I find two ends of the spectrum. When you look at this process, you have some that are like, everything's a spirit. You know, oop, that was it, that was it. And some that are like, it's absolutely hogwash. There's no way any of that is real. Well, you got both ends of the spectrum, right? And you may be sitting on one end where you're like, ooh, did you see that? That had to be. Or you may be one like, there's no way. Either way, here's what I want you to understand. Whether which end of the spectrum you're on, it is real. Ghosts, zombies, all those things. For those of you that are going to just hang on with me. Like I said, no tweets on this real quick. But it's real. Zombies are real. What? I'm going to show you in Scripture more and more about it. I this day in technology, I have to preface this stuff because somebody's going to tweet, Pastor Zach said zombies are real. And I'll be like, that's not the full story. So let me walk you through this. But here's what the flip side of that is this. Jesus is more real. And the authority you have is in Jesus Christ. And what you're looking at, you may think of simply as a ghost zombie. You're going to see today is not a ghost zombie. It's a demonic activity of the Satan, of the dark, of the evil world. It's demonic activity. And he uses those as tools to freak you out, to enamor you. Maybe, you know, you like the adrenaline rush. You know, it's like I was talking to somebody this week. He said, can I chase them? And I'm like, no, we're not chasing anything. You just live for Jesus. They'll come to you. You know what I'm saying? They're going to attack you and you can fight all the way. You don't have to chase. Because when you live for Christ, the enemy's going to fight. But greater is he that's in me, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. So we're going to talk about that today. So I want to set the stage of what we're going to be dealing with. Four biblical strategies that we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks, okay? And I'm going to go through the week one today. But four biblical strategies of defeating Satan. Because all evil activity, whether it's a ghost, zombie, demon, and I'll explain some of that in a minute. Well, no matter what it is a demonic activity. It is of the devil, and you have authority over it. Isn't that awesome? All right, just breathe a deep sigh of relief. So he did say they're real, but we have authority. All right, we'll move on from that. But the first one we're going to talk about today is know your enemy. The second one next week is you have to be prepared. You know, we have to have armor. We have to be prepared. The third one is to attack first. I mean, this is a big misconception that we have in the church of, you know, guarding against the enemy. No, wait a second. We have the ability to attack first. And I'll share with you on that. We'll talk more about that. And the last one is learning to walk in the Spirit. And that may mean something to you. That may be foreign to you. When we get there, we'll explain more about it. But those are four biblical strategies. So let's look at the first one of know your enemy. Know your enemy. What you have to understand is that Satan, how he came about. Now, you may understand this in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28. It gives a better understanding. But Satan in himself was the head archangel until he was kicked out of heaven for trying to overthrow God. In essence, and without giving a lot of scripture reading the entire passages to you, let me give you a synopsis. Satan decided, as Lucifer, that he was going to be in control. He wanted the power that God had. And so as the head archangel who served right under God, he gathered a group of angels and said, let's overthrow God. Well, you know what? That doesn't work well when God is the creator and you're under him. And so guess what? Boom. They were kicked out of heaven. They were thrown down into the earth. And now as we see, there in themselves, he was kicked. That's how it was. But he's also, he has authority here on earth. Let's look at that. Let's look at some of the things that happened from that.
what we need to understand, the second thing is that Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, I know some of you say, what? Satan's the, huh? God's the god, right? Wait, just track with me. Satan is the god of this world, but there's a difference here. Read on in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world. Okay, that's in Scripture. So if it's in Scripture, we believe the word of God is our template. If it's there, we follow that. But he says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, that's a little confusing, but it's a little eye-opening, isn't it? Let me just back up for a minute. In any biblical, or let me just take Bible out of this, in any battle, in any warfare, any game you play that has strategy, what's the number one thing you know? You've got to know your enemy, don't you? You got to know who's the opposition. What are they going to do? Then once you know that, you have to be able to defeat that. But the first thing is knowing who they are. And here's what I know. Many of us, I'm going to share with you some things like this one, Satan's the god of this world, that you're going to say, wait a second, what? And that's the point I wanted you to understand today. Many of us don't understand who Satan is. Now, just hang with me if you think this message is all about the devil. I'm going to show with you at the end where we have the authority. But what I'm going to throw out here real quick is I want you to see some things you may not have known. Some of it you may know, but I want you to know your enemy. And here's what I want you to do as I share this. Think of this as your battleground. You're now learning who you're fighting. Because if you don't know who you're fighting, guess what? You're not going to be very successful. It's about knowing. It's about growing and learning. So we know our enemy. The first thing we see is he's the god of this world. The next thing is that Satan has his own church. It's called the synagogue of Satan. That's awesome, huh? Yeah, just like you have a church, there is a synagogue of Satan. Look at Revelation 2:9 when he's speaking to the seven churches. I know the tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews but are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. Well, we know this more as an occult. You know, we look at that as an occult. But whether you know this or not, there are people who worship Satan just as you worship God. And they believe in what he's telling them because he is deceptor, deceiver of lies. The next thing is Satan has ministers of darkness and deception. 2 Corinthians 11:4. It says, you happily put up with what anyone who tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than one we preach. Or a different kind of spirit than the one you have received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you have believed. So let me just help you, because it's not just all about a synagogue of Satan, meaning, oh, it's all Satanist a thing. Anything that is contradictory to the word of God is of the world. Anything of the world is connected to the enemy, which is Satan. So that's why these false religions, part of Satan. False gods, part of Satan. It's all a part of his plea to distract you, to pull you from following and knowing who Jesus is. Many times, there are many people out there of a different religion, they say, that maybe even use Jesus, but they're not Jesus. You begin to study, you begin to lead. Let me give you an example. Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I mean, that's Jesus Christ. That's the same Jesus Christ, right? Well, you know what? They have an entirely different Bible, the Book of Mormon. You have another one, Mormons. They have an entirely different book of the Bible that they say they add to. Like, basically, God spoke to man, but they weren't good enough. Now we're going to speak again. And here's what you understand. Without going into a debate or trying to explain it, what I want you to understand is the more you dig into that, the deeper you get into that religion, what you discover is, wait a second, this stuff doesn't line up with God. Now, remember what I said just a minute ago. What we believe, the Bible, is the word of God. It's the life. 2 Timothy tells us that it is God-breathed. God spoke it to us. So we believe it's our filter. So I challenge you, even as I speak, if you say, hey, I don't know about that, go read. You read your word. You study. You follow. Because don't ever take man's word for it. You are responsible for your own growth. You need to make sure things line up in the word of God. And what you discover oftentimes when you get into things like this is that, guess what? They say things that appear to be of God, but the closer and the deeper you get into it, it's not. It's of the enemy. And so Satan uses these tools to track people in and make them believe that they're okay, when actually they're in danger. Another thing, Satan has his own doctrine of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, the Spirit explicitly says that in the later times, some will fall far away from faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. What is that? There again, it's not just the occult, it's anything that separates it from God's message and who he is. Another thing you need to know about your enemy is that Satan is the author of all deception and lies. What does that mean? All. What does all mean? There's just really no way to explain that. Is it all, isn't it? I like that. What's all? All. It's not part. It's not half. It's all. It's all. So you understand that all lying, all deception, everything that is deceptive in any way comes from him. It contradicts the nature of God. Read John 8:44. It says, for you are children of your father, the devil. You love to do evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. And he says, when he lies, it consists of his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So you got to know that. In other words, you've got to understand that anything you hear that is not of truth is coming from the enemy, and which enemy it is. Now, it's easy for us to say that, right, unless somebody lies against you, right? You're like, no, that ain't Satan. That's that boy right there. He lied to me, and I'm going to say something about it. I'm going to do it. No, you got to understand, who's your enemy? Oftentimes, our biggest arguments come because we can never understand who our enemy is. You'll fight amongst yourselves. Churches fight amongst each other. People, it happens all the time. And we are convinced it's that person. And who do you think sitting back laughing and going, man, these crazy idiots? The devil. Because he's the true enemy that stirs dissension in the hearts of people. He's the father of all lies. And anything that contradicts God and his nature comes from him. Which leads me to the last one there that you need to understand of the characteristics is that Satan's goal is to destroy, trap, and destroy you. That's his one true goal, okay? He exists to trap you, to destroy you. How is he going to do that? Is he going to come to you with a zombie in your house tonight and just freak you out? More likely, no. Who's he going to use? This isn't hard. Help me. Friends, family, people. Family, wow. Sorry, Carla. No, I'm just kidding. No, but yeah, not immediate. I love it. Yeah, way to curve that one back. It's like, oh, hey, oh, oh, no. Oh, but the reality is he does use people close to us, doesn't he? Oftentimes it's the people who are closest to us. Why? Because the enemy is here to destroy you. And the people that are closest to you is where your guard is down the most. When you love somebody, when you care for somebody, your guard's down. You often don't see it. Now, I'm not saying that your husband or wife is of the devil, all right? That's not what I said. Hold up. What I am saying is that there are moments in our lives when we are of this world. We are. That's why Paul tells us to be in this world, not of this world. But Paul, we also read in the scripture that says that we are all, Romans 3, we are all sinners. For the wages of sin is death. But he also, Rose 6, Romans 3 says, for all have sinned. That means, what does all mean? Man, you guys are smart. All is all, isn't it? I mean, there is no way around. That means every one of us have sinned. And let's just be real, every one of us sins. You're not perfect. If you are, help us that struggle, all right? And then we'll pray for you for pride. Because it's just not true. I can tell you, I put my pants on one leg at a time just like you do. And I get mad, I mess up, I do things just like you. I'm not perfect. But that's where we have grace. Now, as we say all the time around here, grace is not a license to sin. But yet, we mess up. And there are times in our lives when we get frustrated, we get irritated, and we fall into the trap of the enemy. And the enemy uses that frustration, that irritation, and it causes dissension among us. He wants to destroy you. He will use whatever means necessarily to get you. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us this, that Satan is like a roaring lion. I love the picture here. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, have you anybody else like to watch those Discovery Channel stuff? What is it with the cool thing of watching the lion chase the gazelle? I mean, it's cool, isn't it? I know some of you may think, oh, that poor gazelle. But me, I'm kind of like, get him. You know, it's like, I just love that hunt. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, you're like, yes, you know. I don't know why it's cool. And some of you are thinking I'm sick and demented. I'm sorry. I think it's cool. And here's the deal. You do too because you watch it too. You may be feeling for the gazelle, but come on now. You're sitting there watching it too. It happens in all of us, doesn't it? It's just, it draws you in. It's a visual picture. Can you visualize for a moment here? You get up. Let's just walk through a day, right? Your alarm don't go off. Yeah, it's one of those days. You pull out of the car. You get behind the slowest person in the world that in the middle of rush hour decides they're looking around at things. And you're like, this is the city. There's nothing to look at, right? Or you're driving behind them and you're like, why are you moving slow today? Like, what is it? It never fails, does it? You always, the days, if you're early, they're not out, are they? I mean, everybody's passing you and you're the one they're mad at. But the reality is this, you have those days, right, where you're frustrated and you're irritated. Everything gets underneath you. Do you recognize who's stirring that up? Satan is back there just waiting, going, man, this is going to be good today. We're going to have some fun today. It's going to be a bad day. They're going to be singing that Have a Bad Day song. I'm so happy. You know, I mean, that's what's happening. He is out to destroy you. And he uses people. Your enemy is not the people around you. The enemy is Satan. And the moment you begin to recognize that, the moment that clicks inside of you, the moment you begin to see who the enemy is, your battle changes. Now you know how to fight. Because what happens is we fight people. We get angry at people and we argue with people and we fight people and we wonder why it never works out for us. Listen, people aren't the enemy. The enemy is Satan. Let me give you some of the tactics that he uses. First of all, he uses temptations. Matthew chapter 4, we see where Jesus was in the garden, or he was there and Satan came to him. He's beginning his ministry and Satan comes up to him and says, hey, I want to tempt you. Kind of like this guy's tempted, right? There's temptation there. He says, I want you. It was a temptation to be powerful, a temptation to be relevant. And he was just tempting him, saying, come on, Jesus. You're Jesus. You can do this. Do it. He tempts you. He tempts all of us with evil. He tempts you with good. Sometimes it looks real good, right? Matter of fact, that's what temptation is. It's going to look good, but in the end, it's not going to go so well for you. The second thing he tempts us with is fear. He uses fear in all of our lives, doesn't he? I mean, it may be like Kevin. You may be home alone. I don't know what it may be. But the reality is this. Whether it's a zombie, and I'll just be honest. I like to do pictures up here. I looked like zombies, and I saw some of the pictures. I'm like, I can't even put that up. That's disgusting. That's freaky. But he uses fear. He uses fear in our lives. It grips our hearts. It grips our lives. And you know what? We can't move. Fear can be paralyzing. Did you know that 2 Timothy 1:7 says God has not given you a spirit of fear? Well, if God didn't give you, where'd it come from? The devil. This is not rocket science, is it? You're like, man, this is real simple. You're right, it is. But it's very rarely lived out. Because you, all the time, we watch things, we see things, we're scared, we have fear in our lives. We fear those we love. We don't want our loved ones to get hurt. We have a fear, and fear is controlling and manipulative. It's a tool of the enemy. You need to understand, anytime you're afraid, that's of the devil. He is using a tool to freak you out, to upset you, to rattle you within. What does Philippians 4 say? It's don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So you understand, every time fear begins to hit, that should be an indicator inside of you that says, wait a second, that's the enemy. That's not God. I need to come against that. And we'll talk about you. How do you come against it? Using scripture, using the word of God. Now, another way it comes is evil spirits. Now, this is kind of the premise where we are. Evil. There again, I can't put the stuff up. That's weird stuff. But let me just talk, like, for example, zombies. You know, I always thought zombies is this like, you know, like a mummified body. But I was enlightened, as I said earlier, that zombies are actually, you know, humans that are have flesh-eating virus that can eat you. And you know, like half your body's eaten. If you get touched by the zombie, then you're going to, it'll come in you. And then you're going to become a zombie. And all these crazy things that happen along with it. Let me tell you something. It cannot happen. All right. How do we know it cannot happen? Well, in Philippians chapter 1, 21 through 22, it tells us that there cannot be a death in the body. The body and the spirit are connected together. So you can't be like a living dead. That can't even happen. You're going to be a living spirit, a living soul the whole time. You will not operate in that state. 2 Corinthians 5:8 also tells us to be absent in the Lord, to be present with the, absent in the body, be present with the Lord. It tells us that there has to be a connection between the two. Same thing with ghosts, same thing with evil spirits. Anything that is evil that lurks in that situation is demonic activity. It is not of God. There is no way to it. It does not add up to Scripture. It does not add up with the word of the Lord. And matter of fact, we do see that there are ghosts. There are evil spirits that lurk around. In 1 Samuel 16:14, it tells us how that they were literally consumed with evil spirits. I mean, it tells us that they are active. They are moving. That is the enemy that is moving around about us. Matthew 12:43, there again, they were delivered of evil spirits, demonic activity. Mark 16:19, delivered demonic activity, evilness. So here's what you have to understand. The things that the world associates with that, what does it produce? It produces fear. We know that fear does not come from God. So if fear doesn't come from God, it's of the enemy. There again, anything that is active and moving in those realities does what? It is bringing fear and evil, and evil spirits are not of God. They are of Satan. They are the dark world in the underground. That is who he is. That's how he operates. And they are not of God. So you can rest assured to know if that's happening, you don't have to have fear or be concerned with the evil spirits. Why? Because you have Jesus. And we'll end on that in just a moment. Another huge tactic I believe the enemy uses in our society is media. Whether this is something we don't really understand that well, media as well as, so that's a different picture there, but media, media, which is such as games, as well as video games, books, Ouija boards. I mean, there are so many. I put this up here because I didn't even realize this until recently that they have kids and boys and girls that now put Ouija boards in boys and girls games. I mean, isn't that crazy? For a little child, bring your child, let him experience the evil spirit, the underworld. That's happening with your children right now. You have media. Listen, you have video games. You have all kinds of things that incorporate evil spirits and evilness into it. Why? To track you in. You can, you know, go kill zombies. You know, you could get a game and go kill zombies. That is great, right? Well, yeah, but here's the reality. Your bullet will never kill a zombie. The only way you can defeat a zombie is through the authority in Jesus Christ. And you have to understand that. You have to know that. And what happens is the devil, he uses these tactics. He brings them around us and makes us think that, oh, yeah, this is how I can control. And we get involved in this, but we don't recognize it's a tool of the enemy. He sucks you into that, and before you know it, you become desensitized to the power behind it. You know, I love when I was growing up, if I wanted to do something, I don't know, this is kind of confessional time, and for those of you that are with me, you'll understand. But if I wanted to do something, my dad was very, very picky. And one of the things that Angela can tell you, he used to drive me insane. He'd say, "What are you feeding your spirit?" I'm like, "What do you mean, what am I feeding my spirit? You know, are you feeding it things of evil or things of God?" And I'm like, come on, you know, it'd kill me. And I'm like, but as I grew older, I began to understand. If you eat junk food, guess what? You get the effects of junk food. It still tastes good, but you get the effects of junk food. Guess what? Spiritually, if you divulge yourself junk, it's what's going to begin to play out in your life. And I would always, if I wanted to do something, I would find the good in it. I'd be like, hey, but Dad, I'm killing zombies, right? That's the good thing. Like, I'm the destroyer in Jesus' name. Bam, 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 you know. Or if there'd be a movie, you know, Angela and I were the worst. They'd be like, oh, but they love Jesus. You know, a song. This song, this author said Jesus in the name. Yeah, I know it probably wasn't in the right context, but he said Jesus, you know. We would find loopholes. But here's what you have to understand in your life. If you're looking for loopholes, if you're looking for areas of what is acceptable, that should be a red flag. Because light and dark don't mix. You don't want either one. It's a tool of the enemy to begin to distract you and move you. And two more, complacency. Revelations 2:4, Revelations 3:15. We become complacent. All of a sudden, we don't have a relationship with God anymore. We begin to sleep. We don't recognize the enemy when he's right upon us. Discouragement. One of the greatest ways the enemy can get a hold of you is discouragement. He can make you think there's no hope. There's no purpose. No reason for living. When yet the word of God is directly against that, is it not? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understandings, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. These aren't scriptures of lost hope. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's not discouragement. Matthew 28, these are all scriptures that speak out into your life to let you know that guess what? God wants the best for you. He wants the absolute best for you. So what do we have to know? Well, we have to understand this. Ephesians 6. Here's essentially what I've been sharing with you. He says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. What are the strategies of the devil? We just listed them out. And I want you to catch this. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. What is that? That's humans. But yet, we are fighting against evils and rulers and authorities of the unseen world. So you understand? Know your enemy. You're not fighting people. You're fighting the devil. He is out to destroy you. But it goes on. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, he says this. We are humans, but we do not wage war as humans do. What is that saying? It's a different kind of a battle. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle, but we keep people from knowing God. And we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So what are we saying here? We're telling, you have to understand. If you want to understand ghosts, you want to understand all the unseen world, you have to understand that's all a tactic of the enemy. And the battle you're facing is not a battle against humans. It's a battle against the enemy. It's against the devil. He is the one who is deceiving you. He is the one that's trying to disrupt your marriage. He's the one that's trying to disrupt your friendship. He's the one trying to screw up your finances. He's the one trying to mess with your job. He's the one that's attacking you. All the attacks you're facing are coming from the enemy. Now, let me just clear this up. As you accept Christ, does that mean all those attacks go away? Absolutely not. But now you have weapons to fight back. Amen? Now you don't have to sit there and take it anymore. You can do something. You can attack back. And we're going to talk about that next week. But when you look at temptations, because that's the key he takes to track you, I want to point this scripture out, James 4:7-8. It says, humble yourselves before God. And I want you to say this with me. Resist the devil. Say, resist the devil. Let's do it again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You read on, it says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinner, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let me just end with this. The reason temptations often overcome us is because we try to resist the temptation and not the devil. Think about it. We say, let's do the easy one, eating, because that's my struggle all the time. I love food, for real. Love it. I like it. You know, it's like every time I watch Biggest Loser and you see that stuff and they're like, what's inside of you? What has happened to you? I'm thinking, man, I have no idea, but something's wrong because I love food. I like it. I like a lot of it, and it tastes good, right? I mean, just being honest. And here you are. You love this, and then something, this temptation comes along. And it's got to be of the devil, right? I mean, because it's going to mess you up later, but it looks good. In our lives, there are temptations that come. And what we often try to do, we want to get around them. We put ourselves in a situation for failure. I've never met an alcoholic that struggles with alcohol that recovers in a bar. That's not where you recover. Why? Because there's temptation all around you. If you want to change, you have to remove yourself. You have to know what the temptation is. You have to remove yourself from the temptation. But here's the reality. You've got to come to the source of it, right? Because even the alcohol itself, they always tell you, you go through the processes, there's more to it than just that. There's more to it than the addiction of food. There's more to it. Here's what I'm telling you today. In your life, the struggles that you're facing, because we all face them, you've got to understand who the struggle's coming from. The enemy wants to destroy you, and he'll destroy you however he can. And if you try to resist the temptation, you're always going to fail. Because you're going to the very thing that you want, and you're saying, I'm not going to do that. Right? In our house, with Manny and I, we have a way. If one of us cheats, we both got to cheat. I mean, that's just her rule. You know, like, are you going to eat that? Then I'm not eating that. You know, it's like the same thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to eat it. Okay, let's both eat it. Let's go, you know. But it's the temptation of it. And she gets mad at me because I have this innate ability, I don't know why, that when we're on a diet and something looks good, I just happen to go get that. And she's like, why did you even bring it in the home? I'm like, man, it just looked good. You know, we don't have to eat it now. Right. You know, we're going to eat it, right? Why? I put the temptation there. I didn't resist. I put it right in the middle of it. The best way to be away from it is to separate yourself from it. What am I getting at? The devil is chasing you. Do not allow him areas of your life where he can attack you. He's going to attack. But we're going to talk about next week, the best way to win is you attack him. This is not something we have to run from. This is something we can attack first. Because here's what I know. Let me end with this. You have authority in Christ. Say that. Say, I have authority in Christ. Say it again. I have authority in Christ. Do you believe that? I couldn't tell. Do you believe that? Okay, here's the cool part. I know it seemed like a lot of stuff, and as I was writing this, I'm like, dadgum, I got a lot of stuff about Satan in here. But here's what I know. I have to, before we can move forward, I have to set the stage that you know who your enemy is. That authority in Christ in Philippians chapter 2 tells us this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth has to bow. Isn't that awesome? Let me tell you something more awesome. Jesus, when he was here, he cast out devils. He healed the sick. The lame walked. All these things happened with Jesus. But you know what he said? Greater things are you going to do. Isn't that cool? Let me tell you something else that's cool. In 1 John 4:4, he says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I like that verse. Because that tells me I'm the one who wins. I'm the one who has authority. And every time, I can tell you something, every time, we're going to talk about some of the tools, but one of the key tools in Ephesians 6, as we read on, we talk about more next week, one of the key tools you have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when the enemy comes at you, you can remind the enemy who loses. You can say, listen, bro, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. In other words, you've already lost. I have Jesus. I have the authority. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be tempted. I know my God is for me, then who can be against me? I know that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Why? Because the Word of God is true, it is right, it is holy, and it's the one true living thing that I have. So let me tell you something today. If the devil's fighting you, if he's coming against you, if he's telling you that you're a liar, if he's telling you that you're not going to make it, if he's telling you you're going to fail, if he's in your face, stand up in the name of Jesus and say, listen, bro, in the name of Jesus, greater is he that is in me. No weapon formed. You lose. My marriage is going to live. My life is going to live. My kids are going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You get the word of God inside of you. And as it gets inside of you, guess what? You're going to become a little bit bolder. And you're going to be able to tell the devil, you cannot win. You will not win. I have joy. You think I'm discouraged? You think I'm down? Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I know my hope. I know my peace. And all of a sudden you become bold. Now you might have a moment when people are in the car saying, what is wrong with that dude driving down the road? He is yelling at somebody. Let me tell you, you're going to have another moment because you're going to find peace. You're going to find joy in the middle of despair. It only comes in Jesus. You should bow your heads. If you're here today and you do not have Jesus, then you're in a scary situation because you're walking through a battle where you have no ammunition. You're fighting an enemy who's whooping up, but you have nothing to fight back with. And if you're here and you do not know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. Or maybe you've accepted him as your Savior, but you know what? Life has gotten in the way. And you know what? You've fallen away. And let's just be real. The enemy's been attacking you, and it's been working because you haven't had the right tools. But today you're saying, no, I'm coming back, and I'm getting my weapons. Or you're saying, hey, for the first time, I'm picking up my weapons where I can fight back. And if you're here with no one looking around, I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. If you're here and you say, I need Jesus in my life, whether you're accepting him or rededicating your life, I want you to make eye contact with me right now. You said, I've been beat up long enough. Amen. Anybody else? I've been beat up long enough. It's time to fight back. Amen. Anybody else? It's over. I'm picking up my weapons. Anybody else? You're saying, I need Jesus today. I'm going to pick up my weapons today. Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's pray a prayer together. Let's pray a prayer. If you've accepted Christ, then let it be a reminder of what God's done with you. But you know what? For those of you that have made that decision today, you're saying, hey, I want you to make this your prayer. In Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. Confession is saying, he is Lord. I believe in him. He died for me. Then believing is acting it, living it out, getting connected to the body of Christ, and walking in that journey with him. But let's all pray together. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again. And today, I choose to live for you and claim my authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says if you prayed that prayer, then he's welcomed you into his kingdom. He's welcomed you into him. You're part of the family of God. Angels in heaven are rejoicing, and we rejoice with you. But I want to do one more thing before we close. If you're here, I just want to pray for you. And if you're here and you've been beat up, you've been broken, you need Jesus right now to help you. I just want to let's all lift your hands right now, if you would. I'm just going to pray a prayer over you. If you want the Lord to touch you, Father, right now, but I pray for each and every person that is here. Lord, the enemy is attacking. I know he's attacking everybody in here. There ain't a person in here that ain't been attacked because we're human. The enemy wants to attack us. But Lord, I pray for a boldness to begin to rise up in the individuals, each and everybody here. Lord, I pray for a boldness that only comes from you and you alone would rise up inside, and Lord, would just give them a holy boldness that they can attack the enemy and let them know that our God is greater. He is stronger than any other, and we thank you for it, and we praise you, Lord, right now for a peace, for joy, for love, for provision. All the things that are needed right now, Lord, come to happen in their lives now in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Yeah, give the Lord praise. We're trying to decide. We have pastor who is going to honor our staff today, so we're having a discussion. Like, what are they? We're trying to figure out what we're doing. If the ushers would come, though, let's take up the morning tithe and offering before we honor our staff. Here's what we know. We believe that God honors us as we trust him with everything, not just our lives, not just our hearts, but also with our finances as we give back. Malachi chapter 3, it says test me and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven. And so we know that we can test God and give to him, and he gives back. And your offering goes to advance God's kingdom. We believe it's not just, you know, for us. It's to advance kids. It's how we plant churches. It's how we develop disciples. It's how we grow in this process of moving forward in the vision that God's given us. It pays the light bill. It pays the mortgage. All these things that take place. And so it's exciting, but yet in the same respect, there's a lot to it. And so if you believe in what God's doing, and you believe you want to be a part of that, we ask you to be a part. Give to what God is doing. Ushers, come on forward. Let's pray over the tithe and offering. Father, Lord, you know the need that we have. You see the bills that come in. You know what it takes place. And the awesome thing, just as we ask them to trust in you, Lord, we trust in you. And we see that there's a need, even this week, Lord, we need you to provide, but you always come through. And Lord, I pray right now that you would bless each and every individual as they give back to you, recognizing that this advances your kingdom. It moves things forward in your kingdom. And God, you said, test me. I know you're going to bless each person as they give in honor of you. In Jesus' name.
All right. Today, if you are giving with a credit card, Pastor Lanny asked me to announce we have switched over systems, and he needs for you to put your CRV code.
That's a Honda.
CCV. Sorry. I knew I was going to get that wrong when he told me to say it. I'm like, I'm going to say that wrong. Yeah. Anyway, put that code on there. Whatever it is, that little three-number digit on the back, put it on there so that we can run the. We don't want you to miss out on your blessing because we didn't have the little code. So anyway, real quick before we move on with the rest of our service, if you are a first-time guest visiting with us today, we are so excited that you're here. And if you could do something for us, take out your bulletin, everybody. Pull out those bulletins. We have a communication card on here. And if you could put your information on that, this is going to help us to get to know you. It's going to help us to connect with you this week. And hopefully you will get to connect with us. So fill this portion out, and then you can take it to the Resource Center after church and give it to Emma, and she's going to give you a free T-shirt. If you don't care about the T-shirt, that's fine. If you could still leave that information for us, we would greatly appreciate it. Also, if you have things that, those that are regular attenders, and you have things you want us to pray with you about, or things that are going great, we want to hear about it, you can put that on there as well. Those usually hop in the offering, but you can take those back to Emma along with any visitors that we have. So, keep those bulletins in your hands, if you will. And can you open them for me, please? I have a reason for this. There is so much going on in October that if I were to try to hit on every single thing, y'all would be here all afternoon. So I figure you guys are probably ready to go eat. My mama cooked lunch for me today, so I am so excited to get home and eat. So, well, not just for me, for all of us, but anyway. So if you guys will, if you did not get a bulletin when you came in, if you can grab one on your way out, this has all of our October announcements. Also, follow us on Facebook. It has everything. Facebook, we post everything that we're doing. Also, we send out a weekly email. If you are not receiving the weekly email but would like to, just make sure that we have your email address. Let us know, and we will get you on that mailing list. But that will help you stay up on what is happening at the Crossing. So we just want to touch on a few things. This month, we are calling it Volunteer Rush Month, okay? So you're going to see something a little bit different when you come in the next 2 weeks. We have our team leaders. They are going to be on the hunt to recruit people for their team. You're like, oh, goodness, here we go. November 1st, we are going to have a really fun event. It's going to be, we're going to all come, and if you are a current volunteer or you want to sign up to be a part of our VIP team, we're going to have a big party, big celebration that day after church. The different teams are going to be dressed in different colors or different themes. It's going to be a fun day. We'll have lunch that we're going to be providing, and just it's going to be an incredible day, so you don't want to miss out on this. So if you are newer to The Crossing and you say, hey, I'm ready to get involved, I'm ready to know more about what's going on, we're going to have a Rush Zone set up next week where you can find our team leaders. It'll help them. We have them on the lookout for you as well, but it'll be a place where you can go and get more information for the next 2 weeks and take a Getting Started packet so that you can get involved and get on our VIP team. So we removed the word need from what we say that we need volunteers. We want volunteers because volunteers, our VIP team, is what makes everything run smoothly at The Crossing. So we're excited to add to that VIP team. All right, then coming up this Saturday is exciting. We are having worship team auditions. So if that's something that God has gifted you with and you feel like that you could play an instrument or you could sing, they will be here at the church with Pastor Lanny and his team at 10 o'clock. So don't miss out on that if you want to be a part of that. And then I'm just going to highlight. I know, there's so much stuff. I don't this even know is, what to highlight.
Just so you know, if you're first time, this is my fault.
Yes.
Last week, I did announcements. She was out of town, and I didn't get any of it.
Epic
so.
Fell, so.
So we made a rule that I no longer do announcements, so that way you'll know what's going on.
Okay.
So you're getting a little extra day, and so I'm
That's
sorry.
That's why. I'm sorry. Coming up at the end of the month, Clothe a Child. We had the training here on Thursday night. There is still tons of ways you can serve with Clothe a Child. It is an incredible ministry that clothes kiddos in this area that would not ordinarily be able to go and to purchase clothing. And so we want you to be a part of this. You can sign up online. Also, you can give. They are still in need of some funds. They're having to turn some kiddos away, and that's just terrible. So anyway, if you want to be a part of that, we want you to. And then, let's see here, last but not least, coming up.
Thing I forgot to announce.
Next week. It was supposed to be this week, but we figured we would give one more week. We are having a discipleship, our Connect class, Partner and Grow class next week. So if you have done the first two classes and you're ready for the third, the second and third classes.
Partner.
Okay. Those will be next week. And so we want you to invite you to stay for lunch afterwards, and then we will have our discipleship classes afterwards.
Right. And we are, I said we'd have them online, but we had some issues with that. We'll have that up this week, hopefully on Tuesday. Philip's going to help me. We had some difficulties, so Philip said he'll help me get that squared away.
And
All
if you're right. wanting to jump in and you say, I haven't taken any of the classes, you're going to be able to jump in. We will
on
be
YouTube,
offering on YouTube. Okay.
All right.
And?
Now, are we done?
Just real quick, if you're interested in auditioning for worship, there are applications in the back, so just fill that out. You can get it to me or Jose, or you can email it. Jose's right here. Or you can email it to the worship at thecrossingchurch.tv, and then we'll contact you about auditions on Saturday.
One more thing. Like I said, there is so much going in October. It is crazy. Youth Convention is coming up for kiddos ages 6th through 12th grade. Youth Convention, you do not want to miss. My mom got me to every single Youth Convention growing up, and it literally changed my life. And so if you have students, we want them to go. The money is due on, or the first part of the money, the deposit is due on Wednesday. We want your students to go. It is going to be incredible. It's going to be in Austin coming up in November. And come and get more information about that immediately following service. Okay, we are done now, for real.
All right.
Deep breath. Okay.
Get all that? I know you did.
Okay. So, we're done with that portion. One little small part left. Not small at all.